Now, they're campaigners and they are calling for something that sounds like a sensible thing to call for. Railings on the Divis Bridge over the West Link. They want them to be heightened to prevent more deaths by suicide. Sadly, it's an area that has been marked by suicide. And people involved with the group called the Square Cut Punt Crew. They'll be joined by local people, politicians, community and voluntary organisations and churches indeed from the area in a walk from the Grosvenor Road Bridge to the Divis Bridge later on. Francine Traynor is one of the people taking part. I'm going to have a word with Francine now. Francine, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It's very sad to think that you have to walk between two bridges in a busy part of Belfast. Number one, to get the height of the bridge changed and the railings changed. And number two, to remember all the people and the families who've been affected by suicide.
It is indeed, Frank. It really is sad. We've contacted Peter May on a number of occasions to ask him, could he help us with this? And he hasn't responded to none of our calls. So we feel this is the only action left to take, is to go on to the streets and to protest and to let the people know that the difference in the height of the railings.
And the sadly, the reality is that people have climbed over the railings and have fallen to their deaths. And I've had a conversation with a professional who was involved in the aftermath of one of the incidents some time ago. Not in recent times, because I don't want to in any way bring back hurt for anyone affected. But the impact it has on the family that has lost a loved one, and the effect it has on the professionals who arrive to deal with the situation, it's sometimes almost impossible for them to cope with it.
It is indeed, Frank. I can speak on that on a personal level. We were coming back from an appointment one afternoon, me and my partner, and we were driving up the falls in a taxi, and we just happened to look over and actually seen someone climbing up onto the railings, and the taxi driver we were in spun across the road, and when we got to the other side to grab the person down, that person turned out to be my lifelong friend. And that was only this time last year.
And you were able to speak to the person?
We're able to get him down in time, yeah, we were.
And only but
on a lorry. He was waiting on a lorry coming. That was his exact words. Once a lorry came, he was going to jump.
So only but for the intervention of yourself and the taxi driver and the spotting of the incident, it could have been another life lost. And obviously, our thoughts are immediately with the poor person who is in such a state of mental health that they're going to end their own life. But we also have to give consideration to the lorry driver, to the person who's going to end the life of that person. Suicide is such a difficult topic, and it is such a difficult topic to talk about, to contemplate. But there are many ways that people end their own lives. Every one of them leads to hurt, to loss, and to confusion in the community and within families as to why the person did it. But the jumping from a bridge into oncoming traffic must be the worst of all.
I can speak on that there on a personal level, because I do suffer from suicide, and 6 years ago I was cut down. So I do suffer from it every day. It's an everyday battle. So it is. And for me to have the thoughts that I have, I mean, for me to think of what, as you say, is what has to go through somebody's head to be that desperate to jump off a motorway, I do not know. I know I suffer from suicidal thoughts. I've been in that dark place. You know, I know what it's like to be there. But for your mind to go and for you to think that that's the only way out, to jump off a bridge, it's madness, so it is. It's madness and it's sickening, because like a couple of feet up, they put railings up to stop a bonfire, and the railings measure at 1.8 metres with spikes on them. Why, a couple of feet away, there's a bridge, the people's jumping off, it measures at 1.4.
And you believe if indeed the railings were heightened, that someone who is contemplating suicide, or even someone who sadly might still go through with a suicide, wouldn't do it there? And I understand why you are making that call. There's no blame at all being attached to the person who dies by suicide, but there's a responsibility within community for steps to be taken to ensure that somewhere that's affected by suicide is made safer than it actually is. And you've written, you mentioned Peter May, who's the permanent secretary of the Department of Infrastructure. You've written to him in the hope of getting a reply.
We've phoned him. We've sent him emails. We've done everything we can to get a reply from him, and no response whatsoever. I mean, to me, it seems, I mean, we were out as a group measuring the railings and different railings. I mean, there's bin railings that measures 2 metres to stop people from stealing bins. It just seems like property's more important than somebody's life.
Should all walkways, all bridges be secured like that?
Definitely. Yeah, 100%. Yes, they should be. It's called, they're talking about to get stuff for mental health and for stopping suicide. It's called suicide prevention. They're not doing nothing about it. They're talking about it, but they're not doing nothing about it.
It is very sad. It is, Francine. And I can understand you wanting to raise it. And I appreciate you coming on the programme and also being brave enough to talk about the challenges that you have faced yourself. When is the demonstration?
The demonstration starts today. So it does at 10 to 3, I think, at the Gravener Road. We'll be at the Gravener Road Bridge. And we go from there and we'll walk free until the Devis Bridge.
And the square cut punt crew, who exactly are they?
We're just a group that really met up through by chance about 3-4 years ago. We started building a boat. We're people with addictions, homelessness, mental health. That's one of every one of us suffer from mental health problems. We're just a group of people that meet up once a week and are there for each other and try and help each other and do what we can in any way. And after our through Jordy Murdoch, we used the Trail Life. Only for him, like, we would be lost. We used the Trail Life up there every Thursday just to meet up as a group of friends.
It's a good
talk and to help each other and support each other.
Yeah, it's a very good initiative. It is, and it's nice to know that you are together, you are sharing your challenges, and indeed you're trying to raise awareness for what is such an important step. You get my full backing on it. I think those bridges, those walkways along the motorway, the whole way on the West Link, right up the M to the M2 or off towards the M1, I think they should all be secured in such a way as people will not be tempted to jump into the traffic. It has happened, sadly, far too many times.
Too much, yeah, and it's time for Peter May to respond, to speak up, to say what he's going to do. I mean, that is the bridge that most people try to take their lives off, and that is the lowest railings of all M bridges.
Francine,
I mean, it's time for Peter May to respond to the phone calls, or even what is he going to do? That's all we're asking. What is he going to do?
Well, as the permanent secretary of the Department of Infrastructure, presumably this present moment in time, he is exceptionally busy, and he doesn't even have the support of the politicians because they're not there to do the job that they should be doing either. But you are doing your job, and if you don't mind me saying, Francine, doing it very well. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. The woman's talking absolute sense. The bridge, so many times, has been used for suicide, and by getting the Department of Infrastructure machinery out to ensure that the railings are made in such a way that you can't climb up and jump, it just seems like such a sensible thing to do. And I would go as far as to say that all our motorway bridges should be secured like that, because it's not just the poor person who's got the mental illness we have to think about. Give consideration to the drivers who've been involved in the incidents in recent times. What must that be like? And also give consideration to the professional services who arrive on the scene. I want to speak to a lady who's on line 3, wants to remain anonymous. Good morning. Yes, good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. Go ahead.
It's me. You're talking about our suicide and all?
Yes.
Well, I never get, I went in and my son was hanging from my door.
The experience of finding your son dead?
Yeah, no, I had to work with him for over half an hour. But
were you able to save him?
Yeah.
That must have been such an experience for you.
It was terrible, Frank.
And was there anyone there to help you at the time?
My neighbour across the street.
Well, all I can say is well done to you and your neighbour for being able to intervene and to help your son at that critical, critical moment.
I mean, people say that suicide's selfish.
You won't hear anyone on this programme say that, but not from the position I'm sitting in. But yes, it is sometimes said by those who contribute. Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, to be heard.
It must be very difficult to live with someone who is facing a mental illness, who is contemplating suicide, and who you feel isn't getting the help that they need.
And furthermore, I brought my son to hospital. I cried the hospital, not mentioning my hospital, Frank, to keep my son in. He needed help, and so we know.
And how is he coping now?
Well, he ended up in jail.
He's just had a really difficult life, so much of it affected by mental illness.
And everything's okay now with him, like.
Is he in a better place now in terms of his mental health?
Well, we've been up and down, but he's working and all now. Like.
Good, good. And is he getting professional advice? Is he talking to his doctor? Is he meeting people like Francine and her group, the group with a special name, the Square Cut Punt Crew, who all meet together? I would have thought that that's the sort of camaraderie that your son would need to be able to talk over how he feels and to realise that he's definitely not alone. This city is full of people facing mental illness. I'm quite sure that I probably have colleagues in this building who are coping with mental illness. And the reason I say it is because we all have family and friends who are coping with mental illness. So why should we not have colleagues?
Well, Frank, if you walk in, you see your son hanging. It's hard.
How did you get over that?
Terrible. I wouldn't even. He hung himself with my iron.
Say that again, please.
Sorry. He hung himself with the iron.
And how did you get over that shock?
Frank's still getting over it.
And your son is getting some help now. Is he liaising with his doctor and whatever?
No, well, he ended up in the jail, God love him.
Just say that again.
Even in the jail.
Yes, he went into jail, but he's back out now and things are better for him, aren't they?
Yeah. Thank goodness, Frank.
Thank goodness is right. And our thoughts are absolutely with you. And I do hope that he is taking some counselling and talking to the people who would be better qualified than the likes of me talking about him or to him. And as someone simply listening to a mum talking about finding her son who not only contemplated suicide but attempted suicide, a mum who intervened to save his life along with a neighbour, I feel so inadequate. That's the only way I can describe it. And that's why I say I hope that he is talking to his doctor or talking to a mental health specialist or meeting people like Francine and her group, people who get together, who talk over the trauma of mental illness, the challenges of mental illness, because it's all around. It's all around and we must not ignore it. But I really do appreciate you coming on and thank you for your conversation.
I think that girl Francine needs me to go out. I'm going to phone Frank.
That's what made you phone the programme.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to me, Frank.
Thank you. We'll also give out some numbers in a few moments that are very relevant to your son. Just numbers that most people tend to know, but maybe he hasn't phoned them at any point, or indeed that you could phone professionals that you could talk to. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you indeed. You know, we'll give those numbers after this.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105, here for you.
Now, if you're in any way affected by the conversation that we had a few moments ago with Francine, or indeed with the young man's mum who was speaking to us, who wished to remain anonymous, the numbers that are most relevant are the Samaritans on 116123. That's a free call number. It's 116123. It's as simple as that. There are professional people there, counsellors who will sit and chat to you for as long as you need to have a conversation. 116123. And the lifeline number is 0808. It's an easy one to remember. It's 0808. And then it's 808 and 8,000. So that's 0808 808 8000. And those are the people that you really should speak to.